9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening and welcome to another evening of Dr. Clifford and Friends, featuring the absolute very best in all of women's sports and HBCU athletics and a whole lot more. We want to wish all of our women on our show, on our line, and those that are coming on a happy Women's History Month. Where would we be without the women in our lives and on this earth? So we want to say happy Women's Month, and we're going to get right to it. I want to introduce our co-host tonight from Chi-Town's Finest. Tell everybody hello, Dr. Marlo Kemp. You got on, Dr. Kemp.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. Glad that you're listening in.
All righty, great. And we're going to come to our other co-host with us tonight. She's a Hall of Famer in volleyball and basketball, none other than Miss Joelle Bowers. Joelle, tell everybody hello.
Yes, hello, everyone. Good evening. And to all my sisters, happy Women's Month. Thank you.
All right, now, Joelle. And he's with us tonight, getting closer to the NBA playoffs. He's our coach. Our basketball. This is March Madness time. None other than Coach Steve Wright from the Music City. Coach Wright, tell everybody hello.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us, and happy Women's Month, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Steve. And then we have with us as well the Motor City Miracle, none other than Mr. James Wardell. Jim, tell everybody hello.
Hello, hello. And happy Women's Month to you, and we're going to have a great show tonight.
All righty. Thank you, Jim. All righty. We're going to have a brief moment of silence. We have some news that's just come across. All righty. Today, March 11th, 2024, we're sad to report passing of one of the unsung great drummers of R&B, Everett Collins. He's known as the driver of the percolating beats, and he was the drummer throughout the 70s and the 80s for the Isley Brothers. He also wrote music for the group Surface a decade later. He was an educator and finished his career teaching in the public schools, I believe in Virginia and other parts of the South, a middle school and a high school music teacher, but this true legend who helped guide the Isley Brothers to fame as the drummer. We lost him today, and boy, we know what a group the Isley Brothers were. Jim, I'm gonna come to you first. Mr. Collins, here we go. Jim?
Yes, I'm reading about him now. Mr. Everett Collins, who was the drummer for the Isley Brothers, who's been around all of our lives and have been pertinent as well. But I know they've lost a couple of the brothers. I think Ron is still around, but you know, it's sad that this group that's, like I said, been a part of our lives forever, we're losing them. Rest in peace, Mr. Collins.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Kemp, your thoughts on Mr. Collins, the drummer for the Isley Brothers. We lost him today, and a great educator. A great musical educator of high school and middle school students.
Most definitely. Our condolences go out to his family and friends. He is definitely one of those legends and greats who brought us some tremendous and wonderful music along with the group. May he continue to just rest in peace. And so sorry to hear about his passing. Definitely our thoughts and condolences are with all of them.
Yes, thank you so much. Mr. Collins, rest in peace. The drummer for the Isley Brothers. Now, this is Women's History Month, and we have quite a lineup for us. We're going to start tonight with a legend in medicine. Dr. Edith Irby Jones, born December 23rd, 1927, and she passed July 15th, 2019 American physician, and she was the first African-American to be accepted as a non-segregated student at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences and the first Black student to attend racially mixed classes in the American South. She was the first African-American to graduate from a Southern medical school, the first Black intern in the state of Arkansas, and later, first Black intern at Baylor College of Medicine. She was also the first woman president of the National Medical Association and founding member of the Association of Black Cardiologists. She attended Knoxville College in undergrad. And I'll start off tonight. I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Edith Irby Jones in medical school in Johnson City, Tennessee. And I was honored to pick her up to come up for dinner at East Tennessee State, about 100 miles from Knoxville. She was there. And she just gave me some pearls of wisdom on passing the medical boards and sticking in there. And so I have a personal hand clap for Dr. Edith Irby Jones. But what a pioneer, Joelle. Dr. Kemp, I'll come to you, then I'm gonna ask Joelle. Dr. Edith Irby Jones.
Well, definitely, Dr. Berg, what an honor for you to just have met this legend. Wow, that's wonderful. And she is definitely a legend. I mean, the first, first woman president of the NMA, the National Medical Association, and a founding member of the Black Cardiologists. And just a tremendous, you know, legend and role model for women who are going to, or who's going into medicine. I mean, her career is just wonderful. And then for her to go to school, medical school, in the years that she was actually there, when during the segregation, a lot of things that she actually had to go through just to make it and to get to where she was and to obtain the accolades and the accomplishment that she did. I mean, that's one strong woman. And, you know, just all the trials and tribulations that she definitely had to go through to get to where she was. An amazing story.
Yeah. Dr. Edith Irby Jones, I'm going to come to Joelle, and then I'm going to come to Coach Wright, because his mother, Dr. Dorothy Wright, an educator, actually knew Dr. Edith Irby Jones. So I'm coming to you next, Coach Wright. Joelle, your thoughts, Dr. Edith Irby Jones.
Well, first of all, I'd like to commend Dr. Jones on the attributes and that she made to the medical industry, especially in cardiology. Also to the association that she held, the MNEA, that helps protect those that are studying and providing the insights that we have towards medicine and publication. But I would just like to say that you personally know her. My hat's off to you, too. And just Dr. Jones, keep doing what she does, and that we can continue to follow her, and especially in this medical background.
Oh, yeah. See, thank you, Joelle. She's a legend. Steve, Dr. Edith Irby Jones.
Well, you know, that hits close to my heart because, you know, she's from Knoxville, Tennessee, where my mother is from. She's about 5 years older than my mom, but in that community, everyone knew each other. And I'm so glad that you are bringing all of these people to light, Cliff, because this is what we don't get to learn in school.
Yeah.
Not us, not people of color. We don't get to hear those success stories that we thought back then were impossible. And what we can do now, how we can make it if we just try and stick together and fight for one another. But she was an inspiration and a genius. And I know you got to meet her in person. And I know that was a special thing for you. So, you know, rest her soul. God bless her for all the people she inspired, because she inspired a lot of people.
A couple of generations. And also, Steve, not only stateside, because she finished her career practicing in Houston, but Dr. Edith Irby Jones was one of the first American doctors to set up hospitals and clinics down in Haiti. So she's done so much. Yeah, phenomenal. Dr. Edith Irby Jones. Oh, yeah. And Mexico. All right. Now, we have another tremendous woman. This is Women's Month. We won't run out of tremendous women. She, as many say, has been out of this world. Dr. May Carol Jemison, born October 17, 1956. She's a living legend, still living. She was an American engineer, physician, and a former NASA astronaut. She became the first African-American woman to travel into space when she served as a mission specialist aboard the Space Shuttle Endeavour in 1992. Jemison joined NASA's astronaut corps in 1987 and was selected to serve for the STS-47 mission, during which the Endeavour orbited the Earth for nearly 8 days on September 12th through the 20th in 1992. Born Alabama, but raised in Chicago. Jim, you come on the first. Your thoughts? Dr. May Jemison, astronaut, physician. Yeah. Jim? You got on the mic, Jim.
She is one of our great living legends. She graduated from another Stanford grad. Stanford does a great job with that.
Something's going out on Jim. Jim, I'm going to come back to you. Dr. Kemp, Dr. May Jemison.
Yeah, definitely another legend, another living legend that we are so proud of, and just an honor to just, you know, even read about and to have her, just for us to remember her. And it doesn't even seem like it's been that long ago. It's been close to over 30 years since she was on the Endeavor. And it just really seems like it was yesterday. She has done so much that we can definitely be proud of and definitely look up to. And hopefully our young student athletes, as well as our young women, could definitely look up to her as a role model and to emulate what she has done.
Oh, yeah. Dr. May Jemison. Joelle, Dr. May Jemison, tell us your thoughts.
Yes, my thoughts on Dr. Major. I'm so glad we're talking about this, a fellow physician. What impressed me the most is at age 36, she became the first African-American woman to go to space. And she was on a space mission specialized during this flight. She conducted experiments in life sciences, material sciences, and she was the co-investigator of the bone cell research. Imagine how that all affected us going into space at that time in 92. Not only did she go, she returned. And once she returned, she kept on with her and developed patents and other things in her life. I'd like to, she's still alive. She's only 67 years old, and she was actually born in Alabama. So my hat's off to Dr. May Jemison.
Thank you so much, Joelle. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to move on with our Woman of the Month, none other than Miss Diana Taurasi. We talked about some of her accolades a week ago, but let's talk about a high school career. In high school, Taurasi was the recipient of the 2000 Cheryl Miller Award presented by the Los Angeles Times to the best player in Southern California. She was also named the 2000 Naismith and Parade Magazine National High School Player of the Year and the 1999 and 2000 Miss Basketball State Player of the Year. Taurasi finished her prep career ranked fourth in the state history with 3,047 points. Diana Taurasi was named a WBCA All-American, and she participated in the 2000 WBCA High School All-American Game, where she scored 12 points and she earned MVP honors. Later on, we know what she did in college, and we'll talk about that some more this month. But I'm going to start with Steve, because the late Kobe Bryant, whose nickname was the Black Mamba, nicknamed Diana Taurasi the White Mamba. So Steve, Diana Taurasi, we have her all month with us. Steve.
That is the highest praise you can get. When it's coming from my man, the Mamba, you know he's my all-time favorite player. That's the highest praise you can get. But I just remember watching her, and not only was she a scorer, but she did everything well. She was a master of everything with the basketball. And she was, to me, it was Diana Taurasi and Rebecca Lobo. Those were the flagship players to me that got it really started at UConn. And Taurasi was just phenomenal for her whole career, and won national championships at UConn. Was it three or four? She won at UConn.
I think it was three.
I didn't think it was four. I think it was three. Matter of fact, UT may have beaten them one of her years. But you can see that she can still play well into her 40s. So the dedication she had to her craft and the skill level that you have to do and the player development that you have to do and the player development you have to do by yourself. That's what a lot of people don't understand. It's a lot of player development you have to do on your own. Well, she's just hats off to her, like, say, the White Mamba. Hey, you can't get it.
All righty. I'm going to see if I can get Jim back on the line. All righty. Jim, okay, Diana Taurasi, the White Mamba. What do you think?
Diana Taurasi is still playing. We're talking about her like she's retired. Yeah. She's one of the only 11 women to win a gold medal, NCAA championship, FIBA World Cup, and a WNBA championship. And she's of Argentinian and Italian descent. She has earned, well-deserved, earned the name White Mamba.
Oh, yeah. We love her. Diana Taurasi, y'all. Dr. Kemp says she is bad. Yes, she is. Now, we have another bad woman for you. And we said we'd get into her this week. We mentioned her last week. But her name is Morgan Cato. And in 2022, June, she made history. She's our Woman Executive of the Month, and she became the first Black woman hired as Assistant General Manager of the Phoenix Suns. The Suns hired Morgan as Assistant General Manager and Vice President of Basketball Operations. And with this move, Cato became the first Black woman to hold an Assistant General Manager position for an NBA franchise. The General Manager, Mr. Morgan, said to the Suns, General Manager James Jones, with the league office, Morgan played a pivotal role on countless initiatives to grow the game and strategically develop it to be played at its best. The addition of a background and knowledge will allow the Suns to elevate their basketball operations in several areas. And she also served 10 years in elevating the NBA at the central office level. But right now, she's assistant GM, and she's making history. She's over $120 million budget. Uh-oh. Coming to you, Dr. Kemp, Ms. Morgan Cato.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely dynamic. Her previous experiences focusing on, with her background in consulting, investment banking, and just for nonprofit industry. She definitely brought a lot to the table, and they definitely did not make a mistake hiring this native of Brooklyn, New York. So she definitely brought something to their league, and I'm just so happy that they actually saw her talent and was able to, you know, add her to all the additional talents that they have there in Phoenix. So we'll see what their team and as well as she will bring to them to make them an even better basketball organization in the future.
Thank you. Steve, I'm not sure if she was involved in the decision to bring Kevin Durant, but the young man from Washington, I believe she was in on that decision to bring him to Phoenix. Remind me of his name, but she's helping to put the Phoenix Suns in a good position. She travels with him on the road everywhere. She's very involved in the team operation. Steve?
Yeah, that was Bradley Beal who she bought in.
Yeah.
And right now, for the first time in a while, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker are all healthy. So they're going to be something to reckon with if they can stay healthy. But, you know, they're not just giving those jobs away. So you know that she earned it. She was the most qualified. I think this new owner came in, and it was a lot of changes that need to be made. And that was one really positive move that he made, making her assistant general manager. And I think that's just an awesome thing for her and just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead on, Ms. Morgan Cato. We have you with us three more weeks. You're a trailblazer, groundbreaker, and we love you being our executive of the month. Now, it's March Madness time. We've been going through, let's complete the HBCU Division II championships. Last week, we talked about the CIAA. This week, we're going to talk about the SIAC. Let's talk about the women first. They had the championship this Sunday. Myers College won the women's division and qualified for the Division II National Championship playoffs. And I'm going to ask Jim if he can give me just a brief recap of that game. Jim, and then Joella do the men's finals. Jim?
Well, Cliff, this is the first time in history that Myles College has gone won the SIAC championship. They had a young lady named Farrah Greer who scored 33 points to help the Bears defeat Kentucky State 75-72 in the championship game. Mm-hmm. This Myles team is something to be reckoned. And I hope they do well in the Division II championship.
All righty. Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you. Now, in the men's SIAC finals, by the way, these championships were played on the campus of Savannah State and ended this past Sunday. On the men's side, we had Clark Atlanta, and actually they defeated the Myles men, who had been very successful in winning championships. Joelle, can you give us a brief summary on the men's championship game?
The game was actually won by Clark Atlanta. They did a hard-fought game. Clark also in that had at least three of their outstanding players, which made them pull off, which they were named in the all-tournament team. So my hat's off and congratulations to Clark Atlanta advancing with a 65 over Myles being 55. Also to their most valuable player, Shamini Fuller and the other players in there. Outstanding for the championship. And next they will be going to the NAIA, which will be on March 15th and 16th for the first and second round. And then, of course, at the end of March, on the 21st to 26th, is when we'll deal with the finals. But that's as far. And Cliff, I'll let you take it from there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Joelle. Great job. Great job. Now, we're going to break it down for our listeners, division by division. Here we go. There's NAIA March Madness, and then NCAA Divisions 3, 2, and 1. So we're going to start with the NAIA Women's Tournament. 64 teams. They've already qualified. This is their 43rd annual tournament. The championship will be in Sioux City, Iowa, March 21st to 22nd. Let me just give you some quick highlights of the field of 64 in this tournament. In this tournament, Campbellsville, Kentucky, a number one seed, and Wayland Baptist are the only two teams with 32 and 31 appearances in this tournament, respectively. And then you have six teams that are qualifying for the first time. Embry-Riddle out of Arizona, Fisk University out of Tennessee, Florida National, Governor State out of Illinois, Stevens out of Missouri, and Williams Baptist out of Arkansas. And then there are 40 teams in the tournament field that also qualified last year. So they're returning. And then this year, going into the tournament of 64, there are no undefeated teams in the tournament field. Okay? The longest winning streak going into the tournament, Marion out of Indiana, enters the tournament field with the largest win streak this year of 28 consecutive wins, and LSU Shreveport, Louisiana follows with 27 consecutive wins. Now, that's the breakdown for the women's division of the NAIA tournament. You could go to NAIA Home Women's Basketball, and you can get the complete bracket and the complete breakdown. Now, let's talk about the men. This is their 86th annual Men's Basketball Championship, March 21st and March 26th. It's going to be played in Kansas City, Missouri. Of course, the tournament starts March 15th and 16th this week, just like the women. Now, we do have some highlights about this. There are 37 teams that are repeating as qualifiers from last year's field to make up the field of 64. Two teams, Grace, Indiana, and Langston out of Oklahoma, they have the highest win total in the fields with 30 victories each. And then there's Georgetown out of Kentucky, and they hold one of the four divisions' number one seed. They lead the field with 43 appearances in the men's basketball championships throughout the years. Now, they're also newcomers to this men's national championship, St. Mary of the Woods, Indiana, and Texas College. And then 10 teams in the field of 64 have captured a red banner or championship in the past. Bethel out of Indiana, Cornerstone out of Michigan, Georgetown out of Kentucky, Indiana Wesleyan, and Oregon Tech lead those with three national titles each. You can look on the NAIA home men's national championship and get your bracketology. I'm going to ask Jim if he has it on the tip of his tongue, the HBCU teams, men and women, who have qualified for the NAIA tournaments, men and women, or men or women. Jim, do you have it at this time?
Well, let's go with the women first. You have Fisk University and Rusk University. You have, I believe you mentioned them earlier, Texas College.
Yep.
Xavier. Mm-hmm.
Florida Memorial. Yeah.
And Florida Memorial is the second seed. Mm-hmm. And who's got that first seed? Do you remember, Cliff?
Langston in the men's division. Langston, they were there last year. That's the men.
Both of Langston's teams are going. There are nine of them, five men and four women.
Yeah. So thank you. We can't leave out Tougaloo, Jim. Do we say Tougaloo? Men.
Tougaloo College on the men, correct.
Thank you. All righty. And last year, two of our men's teams, three women's teams went last year. They were all knocked out in the first round from our HBCUs. But two of our men's teams, Tougaloo and Langston, both made it to the Elite Eight. And Langston's going in this year 30-1. So, hey, looking for big things. March Madness, NAA. We'll be right back in a second. We'll talk about Division III. All righty, we'll be right back. Welcome back, our 11 engaged listeners, another 8 that are in the chat box, and 11 is now 14 going up. We're talking about March Madness and the NAIA tournaments, NCAA tournaments at all three divisions. March Madness is going on. The field of 64 now in the NCAA Division III. They started already a few weeks ago. Their Final Four in Division III is actually this weekend. On the 15th, 14th semifinals and the 16th. Here we go in the women. One side of the bracket, NYU versus defending champion Transylvania. And the other side of the bracket, Smith versus Wartburg. We wish those teams well as they play their Final Four on the 14th semifinals and 16th. They will be playing for the championships. Okay, excuse me. Yeah, those are the women. Now, let's go to the men in Division III. They also will be playing semifinals on the 14th and the finals on the 16th. One side of the bracket, you have Hampton Sydney. They play Guilford. On the other side, Trine, T-R-I-N-E, and they will be playing Trinity out of Connecticut. We wish all of those teams well as they get ready to play their Final Four and their national championships, NCAA Division III, this weekend. Now, let's swiftly move to the Division II, and you can look all of this up on the NCAA home basketball site. Division II basketball selected their teams this past Sunday night, 10:30 for the women's division. Let me tell you how it goes. They have eight divisions of eight teams each when they and they play March 15th and 16th. Once they get down to eight regional winners, the committee then reseats again to move on to quarterfinals and semifinals. Here we go. The regional tournaments, March 15th and 16th, quarterfinals, March 25th, semifinals, March 27th, and the championship game for the women, March 29th at the Joseph Civic Center in St. Joe's, Missouri. So that's the women's Division II brackets, and you can look them up. Now for the men, Division II. Here we go. They also had a selection show this past Sunday night. Preliminary rounds, the regional quarterfinals, the 15th and 16th, semis, 16th and 17th, finals, the 18th and 19th. You can look up their championship brackets, NCAA Men's Division II basketball. It's a lot of March Madness going on. Before we get to Division I, Steve, just give us your comments on the comprehensive picture we're trying to give our audience of all of the March Madness that's going on. Steve?
You know, at this time of year, like right now, you've got conference tournaments going on. And we've already had four teams that have finished their conference tournament and they have the bid. Morehead State, Drake University, James Madison University, and Samford University. They all won their conference championships, and so they will be in the field of 64. The ACC tournament started tonight, and we've had one game already where NC State beat Louisville by 10. And right now, Miami and Boston College are playing in the second half. And Boston College is up by 13. So you got to
go. Yeah, Steve, we're going to come right back. We're going to keep on going. That's men's D1 or women's D1. We're coming right back. Excuse me, that's men's D1. So you're right. It's a lot. And we're coming right back to you in about 5 minutes, Steve, to continue on with that. Let me finish up because we got to talk about this. Women's D1 tournaments. They all had their tournaments this past week. Let me just give you a few of the highlights. First of all, let's congratulate Coach Gino Auriemma. His team won their 22nd Big East title. And this year, they won it with just seven players. They lost four starters during the year. And then their second best player, Aaliyah Edwards, got her nose broken, I believe, in the quarterfinals. And they still won the Big East tournament title this year. So, Coach Auriemma, what can I say? Steve, give me your comments. Coach Auriemma.
Gino.
Yeah.
That's what a coach does. Yeah. I mean, when you say injuries, everybody got hurt for them this year. And like you say, the girl got her nose broken the other day in the semifinals. They've been practicing with six or seven players. Yeah. But when you have a coach that knows X's and O's, knows his kids, knows the ins and outs, knows the other teams, can coach your team and beat you, then you've got a good starting point. And he doesn't have 11 titles for nothing. Gino knows what he's doing. I'm so glad Paige Beckers has been healthy for most of the year because she's such a great player. And, you know, you never know what can happen at this time of the year. You never know what could happen. So they could make it. They really could.
Gino Auriemma, coming to you. Marlo, next, thank you, Steve. The next game, and probably a number one seed, will be, not probably, the ladies from South Carolina. But this game got a little spicy. In their conference tournament finals, Dawn Staley has won the SEC the last 8 out of 10 years. They were playing the defending national champions, the LSU Tigers. And with 2 minutes to go, the game got a little spicy. Dr. Kemp, tell us, if you saw that game, if you saw it, what do you think on the replay?
Oh, yeah. They were just hot and heavy in there. They were hot and heavy. Mm-hmm. Tempest was playing. Fist was flowing. I mean, everybody was just all into it. The benches cleared. You know, I thought we was watching hockey or something. I mean, you know, that made it exciting. But I mean, I was a little bit surprised, you know, that happened. You know, I'm just glad that, you know, that they were able to, you know, come out of it, at least with nobody getting seriously hurt. You know, but everybody, at least, you know, they were just kind of fired up, and it really didn't make any sense for them to just, you know, come out the way that they did in terms of, you know, in a brawl. And I was kind of glad that the refs, you know, I think the refs should at least had a little bit more handle, you know, on the game and the situation
prior to.
Exactly. But just glad, you know, that at least the young ladies, you know, have to at least sit it out and kind of think about, you know, you just can't let that much emotions, you know, get in there, especially so this close to tournament time, you know, because who's to say how it's going to affect the upcoming games. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And I'm coming to Joelle and then Jim, you know, in this game, finishing the game yesterday, all but five players on each side were sent to the locker room with 2 minutes to go. South Carolina had the lead. They finished with the lead. Cardosa, who went to defend against one of her players that she felt was pushed for South Carolina, will have to sit out the first game of the NCAA. Everybody else will be eligible, both teams, to play. But there was something that happened. A member of the family of an LSU player came onto the court and shoved somebody down at the scorer's table, jumped over the scorer's table to come onto the court. Joelle, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see that game? What are your thoughts?
Yes, I did. And unfortunately, the highlight of that game is what we're talking about now. It's like they went into an all-out brawl, and you do when you're being competitive as being an athlete of any sport. You put your all, you're part of it is being aggressive, but we always had that sportsmanship thing, not to cross the line. The first thing would be something, you know, your coaches or a tech or somebody, it would come from the referees. Now, that did happen. And unfortunately, in a lot of sports, all of them, basketball, all of them, it's become more injuries or more for, you know, for the players. But at the same time, we got to protect it, and they had to suffer the penalties and the consequences. And just like Dr. Kim said, that you don't know how this is going to affect them, but it's definitely going to be negative compared to what happened if they hadn't have done that and could continue to play. So, but at a time looking at the game and seeing how it escalated and what happened, it sort of just had a mind of its own until somebody stepped in and they, you know, they were able to stop it. But
I'm going to come to Jim, and then Steve, I'm coming back to you. Let's move beyond the players in this incident. Let's talk about the coaches, Dawn Staley's reaction and comments, and Coach Kim Mulkey, who can be controversial, and I've stood up for her on some incidents. Jim, give us some thoughts on the aftermath, because players, it's going to happen, but give us some thoughts of what you saw from the coaching and how this was handled. Both sides, Jim and then Steve.
Well, Cliff, I say this. Dawn Staley is class personified. Mm-hmm. Kim Mulkey, who has had issues with Brittany Griner, and even Angel Reese earlier in the year, should not have said she picked on a smaller girl, and if she'd have picked on Angel Reese, it would have been different. Now, I will say the brother of the girl that got pushed down, he faces some charges. So he's
Flashy. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to figure some things out about that and keeping his cool. But, you know, these games are highly charged. As we talked earlier, LSU has lost about seven straight times to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, Angel Reese, to her credit, they asked her how come she didn't get involved. She said she didn't have any time for that. She's worried about the game. Mm-hmm. But you, and Steve, Joelle, Cliff, all the coaches on here, you have got to keep your head, and you can never say anything to inflame the situation for your players to go on that crazy.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Steve, I know you got something to say about Coach Mulkey, but go ahead, Steve, Coach.
Lord, help me. First, let me say, go back to what Marlo said. The referees, they could, you had to have a sense that something was going to happen. Yeah. And you got to get control of that situation, call them together and say, hey, we're not going to let this keep on. Let's keep it clean. And like Jim said, Don Staley, class personified. Kim Mulkey, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Believe them. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. And I don't know why, if you go back and look at the tape, Cardoza's being suspended for a game for doing the exact same thing that that girl did to the player on her team that she was defending.
Flaje Johnson pushed her.
Flaje Johnson.
Yeah. Who's a good kid? Yeah.
Pushing the chest with both hands. And they're both good kids, I'm sure. You just get caught up in emotion, and as a coach, you have to control your players. But for Kim Mulkey to say, I wish she pushed Angel Reese, not only is that crass and just asinine, to me, it inflames. And I'm sorry, y'all took on a kind of slave master tone with me. It put that kind of taste in my mouth. You know, that's just like saying, you pushed one of my girls, you pushed the wrong girl. If you've done that, I feel some type of way about that.
Yeah.
And like I said, she's already shown you who she was. Jim said with the Brittany Griner thing and the stuff that, not only that, but stuff that Brittany Griner went through at Baylor before all of the other stuff happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead.
You know, that's okay. Thank you, Steve. You know, I'll admit, I tried to defend her in the beginning of the year when she wouldn't talk to the press, whatever was going on with Asia Reese, but I can't defend her on her statement on this one. So we're going to move on. I get a feeling that these teams just may see each other again in the NCAA tournament. A couple of more games, because some other people are playing really well. Congratulations to Coach Shively. Notre Dame won the Big East women's tournament. Caitlin Clark won a third Big Ten championship, had about 27 in the second half. And then, well, we just want to say congratulations to Juju Watkins. They won the Pac-12. And they defeated Stanford for the second time this season. Jim, your comment on Juju leading USC.
Well, we've heard all the talk about Caitlin Clark, but Juju actually is ahead of Caitlin's pace as a freshman. So her career is going to be very interesting to see how she develops from here because she's every – her only problem is she plays on the West Coast. You might not be able to see a lot of her games until late at night. But as Steve has said, she's got every trick in the arsenal.
Yeah.
She's going to be a great player.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we're going to take a minute break. We do want to mention before we go, next week we're going to begin our spring sports mixing in with March Madness. So next week we'll talk about baseball, softball, and bowling. We'll take our break, and Jim will come right back. We got to talk about some key NFL trades, free agency, and we'll also talk about a little bit of tennis. All righty? We're going to break. We'll be right back. All righty. Thank you. Welcome back. Pamela Renee, qualifying broker, founder, CEO, 2870 Peachtree Road, Suite 992, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. That's Pamela at prenaeestates.com, 404-964-4294. That's prenaeestates.com, residential, commercial, land, developer, investor services, and builder. Jim, take us away.
Cliff. I have to reboot my computer every time to see what is happening on this NFL free agency. You know, we started out with Russell Wilson, which I think is going to be a key move, going to Pittsburgh for the veteran minimum, $1.2 million. And then his old team, Denver, still has to pay $37.8 million. So I think he's going to be a good fit in Pittsburgh. You know, he has to listen to Mike Tomlin, but I think he'll do well. Mm-hmm. Then the boom hit early when Kirk Cousins signed with Atlanta. And they are all happy in the Peach State. Mm-hmm. Finally having a quarterback for all that offense. Okay. Now, some bad news for our Tennessee Titans fans is Derrick Henry signs with the rival Ravens.
Oh, let me get Joelle's comment on that, Jim. Coming right back to you. Mm. Joelle.
I'm gasping. The Titans, King Henry has been the Titans for years. And for him to be leaving and going with the Ravens, it reminds me of when our quarterback went and played for the Ravens for a while. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, if y'all remember, McNair played for a while, and then he went to the Ravens towards the end of his career, and then he come back. So they do find a place there that makes them welcome. I'm just going to say congratulations to him. We are starting all over in the Titans, and actually, I'm looking forward to this next season to see who's who, you know?
All right, Joel.
Yeah.
Jim.
You are definitely going to need a scorebook.
Jim, Marlo says, can she get a loan from Russell Wilson? But keep going, Jim.
For you Giants fans, Saquon Barkley is now an Eagle.
Yeah.
Now, I hate some of these things. You know, I really think that Henry was, you know, they went with this new Callahan, the new coach, the Shanahan system. And Henry is a lot of good things, but he's not a real pass catcher.
Okay.
So they scrapped the ground and pound offense for a pass catcher. You know, Saquon Barkley, I think the Giants made their mistake, giving Daniel Jones $40 million for 4 years, even only two are guaranteed, and then refusing to give Saquon Barkley, I would say, one-third of that.
Yeah.
When he obviously is an important part.
Dr. Kemp, coming in, Jim, coming right back to you. She watches this daily, monthly, weekly, and fall. Dr. Kemp, the Giants, and Saquon Barkley leaving to the Eagles.
I was actually, I agree with what Jim was saying. I was actually surprised that they let him go. But, you know, it was just, if they don't want him, you know, hey, you know the Eagles, they going to definitely pick him up. But it's going to be interesting when he comes back up here to play. You know, I'm going to be wondering how the crowd would react to him playing here. But I mean, I would just wish him well. If the Giants don't want him, hey, the Eagles got him. So we'll see what happens.
We want to say hello to Fisk University's Basketball Hall of Famer on the line. Another Hall of Famer. We have Joel already. But Renee Spencer led the team to their last championship in 86. And this week, the Lady Bulldogs are going to the Nationals. And she gave a pep speech, I understand, early this week at the watch party. Jim, go ahead. Hey, Renee, how you doing?
Well, Renee came on in good times. That lets me talk about Dallas Cowboys. They let Tony Pollard go to the Titans. And Dallas really has not done too much in free agency. I guess Jerry is sitting back waiting to see what he can come up with. Now, we all thought that with the new salary cap, Pat Mahomes' $500 million contract, that the league was finally going to get a chance and Kansas City was going to lose some players. But it looks like they've already signed the DN, and Pat Mahomes freed up $21.6 million today. Wow. So they might have a chance to sign that cornerback as well.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
So, like I said, keep posted because there might be a change by the end of the show on somebody else's time.
All righty. So, Jim, let's talk a little bit about this. If you're through, we're going to hold off for the spring sports, but I do want to mention the two Division I basketball conferences in Birmingham. The SWAC conference will be playing this week, their championships. Sunday, they'll crown a champion. Of course, the whoever wins that goes on to the NCAA tournament, men and women. Coach Tamika Reed, not talked about enough, another undefeated season in conference play in the women's division. So let's give her a big old hand because she's truly one of the best. She's one of the best. And Grambling won the men's basketball. They're going in the number one seed. That tournament is being played in Birmingham. And then the MEAC, Norfolk State, men, and I can't remember, I think the women as well, are both going in number one seeds, right? In Norfolk is where that tournament is being held. Both played this week. Both will end on Sunday. And both conference winners, men and women, will be going on to the big dance, okay? So that we have it set, y'all, for the March Madness. Jim, let's get back to the NFL. Let's talk some more about Russell Wilson and his money. What do you think?
Well, they said Russell flew coach Pittsburgh to prove a point. But like I said, I think, well, Pittsburgh just traded Deontay Johnson to the Panthers. So I look for them to go out and get another wide receiver. But I think this is a perfect fit for him. They've got the running game. They've got two running backs that average almost that had almost 1,000 yards last year. Mm-hmm. They've got George Pickens. They've got Freiermuth, the tight end. And they always have a great offensive line. They have a great defense.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Russ can't make it here, he won't, you know, he'll be getting that next $38 million from Denver sitting at home with Sierra.
All right. Now, Jim.
But I do think it is a good place for him. No, go ahead.
There's two great players, I believe both Eagles, that have retired. Can we talk about them? One of the Kelsey and the other one, is it Fletcher Cox? Let's talk a little bit. Both had great careers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say a word or two about them.
Well, Kelsey, the older brother of Travis, is going to be a Hall of Fame center. You know, they talk about him in the top five ever.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tremendous loss.
Give it to
knowing
him.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
Knowing the Eagles, they will go to their farm team, which is the Georgia Bulldogs, and probably try to get their center or something like that.
All
now,
right.
Fletcher Cox as well is the same thing on defense. Now, I forget the guy's name. He's from Michigan. He is staying for one more year.
Okay.
But Fletcher Cox leaving, like I said, they have about five Bulldogs on their defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're looking to get, Hassan Reddick and another linebacker, they're looking to let go and get faster there.
Mm-hmm.
So the Eagles are in transition.
Yeah.
But I think with Saquon Barkley, that transition is going to be made a lot easier. And I think something that's not been talked about a lot, I believe that Jalen Hurts will be more healthy this year.
Wonderful. Keep going, Jim.
Because if you remember, last year he got away from being who he was, that quarterback that was a threat to run.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they get that back, I think the Eagles would be back as long as they fix the karma in that locker room because they lost 6 of the last 7 games, including a home game down in Tampa in the playoffs.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we are going to get ready. There are only 16 or 17 games left in the NBA season. And also, Steve's going to talk about the men's D1 March Madness. Things are really rounding up. And so we're going to come back to him after this brief break. Now, are you living with diabetes or at risk and tired of being stuck in a cycle of attempts to achieve better health? If you said yes, Abundant Life LLC may be able to help. One size doesn't fit all, but using effective strategies empowers you to reach your goals. Try something new. Break the cycle. The website, abundant-life-llc.com. And that's at 615-212-8490. Dr. Freeman, Dr. Rashae Freeman. She's got some answers for you. We want to say welcome to our 47 engaged listeners and counting, and we'll be right back with NBA, NCAA, and we're going to talk about Coach Bus Thompson, another legendary Black coach. All right. Welcome back, Dr. Cliff Burton Friend, featuring the absolute very best in all of women's sports and HBCU athletics. Let's take us away, Steve. NCAA, okay. NBA, Coach Bus Thompson.
All sure. Right. Division One NCAA men's top 10. Houston is number one at 26-3, and they blew Kansas out of the gym.
Oh, boy.
They beat them by 30. UConn is 2 at 28-3. Purdue is 3 at 28-3, and they retired Zach Edey's jersey at his final home game.
That's good.
North Carolina is 25-6, and they swept Duke by beating them Saturday. Tennessee is 24-7. They lost to Kentucky. I won some money on that game. Arizona is 26-7. They signed Tommy Lloyd to a new contract extension, and they turned around and lost to USC. I know sometimes I can be hard on coaches, and I'm not going to call them stupid, or I'm not going to call them dumb, but let's just call them the non-Einsteins. And that's what Tommy Lloyd is. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Excuse me. Iowa State is number 7 at 24-7. Creighton is number 8 at 23-8. Creighton had Villanova down Saturday 30-8. Mm-hmm. Villanova came all the way back and tied the game. They ended up losing at the buzzer. But Creighton was exposed. Well, they've always been exposed. Kentucky is number 9 at 23-8. Of course, they beat Tennessee. Marquette is number 10 at 23-8. And these conference tournaments, these big tournaments are going to be starting this week. Like I said, the ACC is playing right now. Boston College beat Georgia Tech by 4 earlier. NC State beat Louisville by about 10. And right now, it's a 10-point game. Boston College is ahead of Miami right now. We've had 4 teams to qualify for the NCAA tournament: Morehead State, Drake University, James Madison University, and Samford University. James Madison can be a very dangerous team. Drake beat Indiana State, and I think both of them should get a bid. They might not, but both of them should get a bid.
Congratulations to those teams. Keep going, Steve.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Kansas is going to be without their top 2 scorers, Kevin McCullough and Dickinson, because of injury. Dickinson separated his shoulder, and McCullough's been dealing with a knee injury for about, I'd say, about a month now, because he's missed some games. But he's going to be out for the conference tournament, but will be back for the NCAA tournament. The main conferences, the SEC kicks off tomorrow. Like I say, the ACC kicked off tonight. Then you're going to have the Big 12. You're going to have the last pack. We used to be Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever it is now, tournament. So you've got a lot going on. Jobs are on the line. Kenny Payne may have coached his last game at Louisville. He inherited a tough situation. Mm. They're talking about Mike Boynton at Oklahoma State, who really needs to have a chance to keep his job, the things he's had to go through there. Michigan, Juwan is, you know, he's been sabotaged by his own school. So hopefully,
Let me let Jim weigh on that. Then we'll go again. Jim, your thoughts on Juwan Howard at Michigan? It seemed like ever since he grabbed that coach a year ago, it's been not too smooth ride for him. What's your thoughts, Jim?
Well, you know, Steve, I'm glad you brought that point up because Pac-12 Player of the Year Caleb Love was going to transfer to Michigan but couldn't get in. Big Ten First Team All-American Terrence Shannon was transferring, but Texas Tech would not allow him to take a summer course, so he'd be eligible to play at Michigan. You know, and you know, beside that, and I'm going to make it quick, Juwan had a heart condition that probably would have killed him if they didn't diagnose it in May. Mm-hmm. And he said six players drafted into the NBA in the past 3 years. And the last four of them all left after, well, Kobe Buskin left after the second year, but the other three left after the first year, and they're playing in the G League right now. So he's had some terrible luck, but from what I hear, they're going to give him another year, and he's got a couple good recruits coming in.
Okay.
So we're going to hold out hope for Juwan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Steve? Yep. I agree, Jim. And hopefully, I mean, you're talking about a lineup that could have been Doug McDaniel, Caleb Love, Hunter Dickinson if he'd stayed, and Terrence Shannon. That's a Final Four group. That's a Final Four group. So, you know, it's been tough sledding. Hopefully, he keeps it. Now, we have 17 games left in the NBA regular season.
Steve, I have one question before you go to NBA.
Yeah.
Is Kentucky for real? Can they get to the Final Four 1 week? They lose. Next week, they go in and beat Tennessee. Are they a Final Four material, do you think?
Look, I'm glad you said that, Cliff. they shouldn't lose to anybody.
Yeah.
You hear me? With the talent they have, they shouldn't lose to anybody. All they have to do is before the game, lock Calipari in the bathroom and go out there and coach yourselves. Because, I mean, I knew they were going to beat Tennessee because Tennessee is living a lie. Mm-hmm. But you've got 21 feet of center that can play. You've got guards. You've got shooting. You've got wing players. Your best player is probably the fifth best scorer on the team, and Justin Edwards, he's a pro. He's been in shackles all year. Dillingham is impossible to guard. They are for real, but there's just a coaching mistake could just end it.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the year they were undefeated?
Yes, I do.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I remember. I want to ask Joelle, I don't if she's been watching any of UT's men. You said they're not for real. Joelle, have you watched some of the UT men basketball this year? And what do you think?
Yes.
Tell me what you think.
Yes, of course I have. And as I got my master's there, I'm a Vol. And so I'm rooting for them. And it really upset me that we lost to Kentucky. But that's a nice battle between Kentucky and Tennessee. Actually, the SEC in itself, right? Yeah. So it's going to be interesting because we are in March Madness to see how this stuff develops. The best going to rise and the other one's going to be crying with woulda, shoulda. So, hey, that's where I stand. And I'm standing for Tennessee. I heard somebody say something about Tennessee.
Keep going, Steve. Fair enough. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, good luck, UT. Not so fast, but anyway, UT, they're great defensively. Defense travels. You should never have an off night defensively. Never. But when it comes time and you got to put that ball in the basket, they've got one legitimate score, and that's Dalton Connect. Play a boxing one on him, and then you go home when you win by 17. All you got to do is boxing one him, because who else is going to score? Nobody. Uh-huh. So, hey, it ain't going to be long. But anyway, NBA. Anybody got the more college stuff? You know, I talk at all night. NBA.
We got enough to go with it.
go to NCAA, but you know, Tennessee's got a decent coach, but he just doesn't realize what he's got. He doesn't realize crippled more kids than polio. The only reason I'm telling you, Marquette will not be a Final Four team is because of the kid that went to put his name in the draft, Oliver Menence Prosper.
Okay.
If he was there, Marquette's a Final Four team because they've got a good coach. I really like him. He's a good coach. That's the only reason. But if you talk about the top seeds in the East, South, West, excuse me, for the NCAA tournament right now, Houston, UConn, and Purdue look like locks.
Okay.
That fourth one is going to be dependent on who probably wins that ACC tournament. Whoever wins that ACC tournament, maybe the SEC tournament. If Tennessee won the SEC tournament, they would probably get it. But I believe you got a choice probably between North Carolina, maybe even Duke, to come and be that top number, the other number one seed in the other bracket. All right. So it's going to be interesting. It's kicking off. It really goes in high gear Thursday. The SEC starts tomorrow, but Thursday, you know, it really be it's going to really be something. Uh-huh. On to the NBA. 17 okay. games left until the playoffs. The new power rankings came out. Denver replaced Boston in number one in the power rankings. Wow. And Boston actually dropped to three. So you have Denver 1, Oklahoma City 2, Boston 3, the LA Clippers 4, Phoenix Suns 5, Cleveland 6, Minnesota 7, New Orleans 8, Sacramento 9, and the Lakers 10, and Milwaukee dropped to 11 in the power rankings. Minnesota, of course, they lost Karl Anthony Towns. He says he's going to be out a month. Cleveland. What's his name? I can't get his name out. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. He's been out, but I'm thinking he'll come back soon. They actually said Lonzo Ball was running and cutting at practice for Chicago, and I hope so, because you know his knee has just been just torn up. But I'm gonna tell you, with the pro teams here, you better watch out for Dallas and New Orleans, because Dallas did well when they picked up at the trade deadline. They picked up PJ Washington and they picked up Daniel Gafford. And you know, you got Luka, who has had 11 straight games of triple doubles. And the only one that he didn't score 30 in, he scored 27. And that was the other night. Ben Simmons is out for the year.
That might be a help. That's probably a help. I hate to say it that way, but keep going.
It's probably what?
A help.
Yeah. You're right.
So stop experimenting. He's not going to play.
You're right. Daniel Gafford for Dallas, who's recently with Dallas, has had 28 straight shots that he's made in game competition. Mm-hmm. So he's on his way close to breaking a record that Wilt Chamberlain had. And I've got to mention, do you realize that the Lakers the other night beat, who was it? I forget. But anyway, the other night when LeBron didn't play, and my man's name, had 44 points, used to play at Ohio State, left-handed kid. I can't get his name out of my mind.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I got too many names D'Angelo Russell had 44, shot lights out. LeBron came back the other night, and because he missed the game because of that ankle tendinopathy or tendonitis, basically, and had 29 the other night. And Anthony Davis had 25 and 15, I think, rebounds. Watch the Lakers. The Lakers are going to be in the finals, y'all. Lakers are going to be in the finals. I got to mention Victor Wembanyama, and the reason why I'm going to say that is because this is his rookie year, and right now he's averaging 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3.4 blocks a game. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because this is going to be his lowest year in his career. Because he's going to take over next year. He hasn't even scratched the surface. The Knicks will be getting OG Anunoby back tonight. He's playing tonight. Julius Randle is doing some on-court work, but not a lot of contact right now. Detroit GM Troy Weaver had gotten into an argument with a fan because the fan told him the truth. And Jim, you're high on this kid that they cut because I think he's a playmaker that hadn't had a chance and nobody's picked him up, and that's Killian Hayes. And I'm thinking if he gets with the right team, the way he can run an offense, the way he can set players up, I think he'll be a steal from somebody. I'm hoping somebody that's getting ready to make a playoff run will pick him up because I could imagine him in Miami or somewhere like that. But, you know, with the NBA, it's just you can't get hurt. This time of year, you can't get hurt, and it's about time for some people going to probably miss some games. Steph Curry is slated to play on Saturday.
Against LeBron.
That ankle injury. The Orlando Magic gave an extension to their coach, Jamal Murray, who's done a great job. And Alperin, and I think they say his name's Seguin, but it's spelled S-E-N-G-U-N, Sengun. But he was lucky. He had a very awkward fall and a bad ankle sprain and a bone bruise in his knee. Sadiq Bey is going to be out the rest of the year. He tore his ACL.
Oh, boy.
So you really hate to see that, but the East is about set. You know that it's going to be Atlanta and Chicago in the play-in games. But with the West, you do not know. Because I'm thinking the Lakers, they're in ninth now. I'm thinking the Lakers could finish in seventh or eighth place because it's about time for Sacramento to implode. Okay. So I'm looking forward to see it, man. It's that time of year, y'all. That's all I got unless y'all want to hear some more.
Do you have anything on Bus Thompson or next week, Steve?
Yeah.
Give us 5 extra minutes for legendary coach Bus Thompson.
Oh,
Steve?
Man. Herbert H.B. Bus Thompson, he was born August in 1912 and passed away in 2001. He actually got his start coaching football. Then he coached basketball.
At Fisk.
Then he coached track. He was an athletics administrator. Mm-hmm. He was born in Gary, West Virginia. He died in Opa-locka, Alabama. He coached at Morristown, Morris Brown, and Fisk.
Yeah.
He played college football at Bluefield. And the thing about him, he was ahead of his time. He coached my father. He coached the Ben Job. He coached Weldon Drew, who a lot of people are not familiar with. Weldon Drew was a head basketball coach at New Mexico State. And Cliff, I think he actually coached at Langston, who you all have mentioned tonight.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. But he coached all those players. And my father told me once, he said, when he was playing for Bus, he was wondering why Bus had them doing all these different defenses, all these, you know, not man-to-man defense, but all these different zone defenses. He just kept wondering why. And then he said to himself, I know why. And he said, and my father, of course, you know, Cliff, you played for him. He did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to, don't let a team beat you if you're outgunned. If you've got a team that's, you better than them and they play good man-to-man defense, then play it. But if you've got a team that, because a man-to-man is a team's best offense. They want you to play a man. And if they're going to run what they want to run and you can't stop it, you're going to get beat. And one more thing, that's what I was saying about Kentucky. We're talking about them tonight. Remember they went down there undefeated, played UConn. And the night they got to play UConn, it wasn't the night they played UConn. But I said the only way Kentucky can lose this game is if they play those two little guards man-to-man and let them control the whole game. That's the only way. And they played man-to-man. Mm. They were getting beat. He went to a zone for a minute. They got back in it. He went back to a man, and they lost the game. And those two guards, one was not a pro. The other one I didn't think was a pro anyway. He got to go up there and have a cup of coffee. You know, they had basically three players. And I can't even remember who their third best player was that year. But Kentucky was loaded that year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they loaded every year. But I said, the only way to lose this game, if he goes around there and lets those guards run willy-nilly, because he cannot, he can't, his kids can't guard those two little kids. Mm-hmm. And they ate him up.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead, Cliff.
No, Bus Thompson, great job. We want to, and I want to thank you, Steve, for always highlighting. We want to make sure our African-American coaches, Bus Thompson, we've done John Thompson, we've done John McClendon now, we've done Big House, Coach Gaines, and we've done John Chaney, Steve. We've done a marvelous job on all of them. These guys are mentioned and should be mentioned always, right up there with Dean Smith, Bobby Knight, John Wooden. These guys that we're mentioning now, if we don't mention them, who will? We want to keep on. Thanks so much, Steve. Great job as usual. Jim, give us a quick on your show, the Sheffield Show, Saturday mornings. Tell us how we can see you before we get off of here. Jim?
Wake Up Call with Horace Sheffield. We'll be on from 8 to 8:30. I will put the information in the chat box. Just Wake Up Call with Horace Sheffield. If you look it up, you can listen to it.
So Jim's on there with Mark Jones from Mark Jones and Friends show. Dr. Kemp, give us the last word before we get out of here.
Great show, everyone. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you learned a lot, because it was definitely a lot of information given today. Great information. It's March Madness. It's just going to be full of excitement this month, especially by being Women's History Month. So thank you guys for listening. And we, as you always say, Dr. Burke.
Hold on. Before we do that, we got to say hello to Benita from the Music City down there. And we want to thank all of our 65 engaged listeners now on the line. Another 11 in the chat box as a show. We've now gone close to 2,200 downloads since we started. So keep spreading the word. We want to wish, of course, our Fisk University well in the NAIA tournament first round against Indiana Wesleyan and all of our HBCU teams. And we're going to be right back. We're going to have it all for you next week, all the tournaments, all the madness, and we're going to add some spring sports to it. So again, thank you so much, everybody. And we'll see you back in 168 hours from now. Thank you, everybody.
I was on the air. I was about to say.